Proverbs chapter number 31. Here Solomon awaits for the last chapter of the book of Proverbs, and he closes with a very important thought. And with the theme of that through the Bible, we have what we always call the letter of first mention. Boy, when things are mentioned first, it does good to pay attention. But also, I like to refer to the things of last mention. How people close their writings in the Bible. And certainly, a man that had 1,000 wives, I would say he had some experience to write about. Now, Solomon lived to some 70 years old. I remind you that he had to make a marriage ceremony about every 3 weeks of his life. He was a busy man in the marriage ceremony. And a man that had that many wives, I think that he's written that he probably didn't find a one in all of those wives. So he said, since I don't have one, I want to write the kind that you want to try to find. And I'll assure you, a man that has 1,000 wives could not do one justice. Amen. Amen, ladies. So here he writes about the kind of lady that God would have you to be. He said in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. You may be seated this morning. And I want to preach on the virtuous woman. The virtuous woman. As I've already said, King Solomon had many wives. It was the custom of the day, not the custom of our day. But certainly Solomon had a lot of experience with women. There's no doubt that he had young, he had old. He had different kinds of marriage relationships with his wives. But certainly this morning he's written down in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. I'll remind you that the virtuous woman means worthy. It means one that is strong in all moral qualities. Virtuous woman. This is a woman that every woman would be if she only feared God, loved His Word, and was filled with His Spirit. The description is designed to show what wives the women should make and what wives the men should choose. You see, you'll not find a virtuous woman in a beer joint, fellas. You'll not find a virtuous woman down at the town hall dance. You'll find her in the pages of Proverbs chapter 31. And with that thought this morning, I want to say, first of all, the worth of the virtuous woman. The worth of the virtuous woman. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 3, and verse number 1 says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or behavior of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price, the worth of the virtuous woman. First of all, the worth of this virtuous woman you'll find, back to the book of Proverbs 31 and verse 11, you'll find that her love is pure. Her love is pure. For it says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. The worth of this virtuous woman, you'll find that her love is pure. And ladies, I want to remind you today that love is far more than feelings. Love is pure. Love is far more than feelings. There'll be times in your life that you'll feel like maybe that you're in love. It may be a time in your life that you feel that you don't love Him. But love is more than feeling. You see, love is a long-lasting relationship that you must build and work toward. Here you'll find her love is pure. He said the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. In other words, he's not worried about where she is and what she's doing. Oh, the worth of the virtuous woman. Her love is pure. And ladies, I will remind you that God said that you would be the wife to your husband one. Not two or three. Marriage is not a social event. It's a divine institution ordained from heaven's palace on the pages of our Bible that says the family unit would become one. And when you've got three or four, it no longer becomes one. He said, how shall two walk together unless they agree? And certainly the work of this virtuous woman, her love is pure. In Titus chapter 2 and verse number 3, if you'd notice there and hold your place over in Proverbs, but in the book of Titus chapter 2 and verse number 3, the Bible says that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed to their own husbands. You've got your own husband this morning. You ought to seek to love him purely. You'll see the worth of the virtuous woman. Her love was pure. Oh, it's very important to a man as he leaves home to know that he don't have to have the back door nailed shut, the windows with double locks on, and some hussy's out cheating on him while he's gone to work. And I'm going to tell you, for you to be the virtuous woman that God wants you to be, you must keep your love pure. Secondly, not only is her love pure, but you'll notice in verse number 11 of the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, her love is passionate. For he said, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. I tell you the reason that a lot of men don't come home, they ain't got a lot to come home to. Their love is passionate. I want to give you three things, ladies, this morning to help you in your passion to your mate. First of all, think about your attraction. Your attraction. Keep yourself interesting and attractive to your husband. If your husband likes that hairstyle, wear it that way, son. Amen? You say, well, I don't like my hair that way. Does he? I don't like that cologne that he likes. Well, who else are you wearing it for? The passion, the love, it's passion, attraction. Keep yourself interesting and attractive. Admiration. Talking about the love, it's passionate. Her admiration, listen to me. Your husband will be drawn toward those who admire him. Many men compete for a trophy. Boy, they love admiration. They love you to admire them. Boy, my wife can pat me on the back a little bit. I mean, it perks me up. It helps my attitude. Admiration. I want you to remember this morning about this love that is passionate, that He will be drawn toward those who admire Him. I'm convinced a lot of times that we take each other for granted. Don't you know that you like for Him to admire your cooking? To admire the way you look? To admire the way you smell? Don't you know that you like the way that He brags on you and admires you, and don't that draw you to Him? Well, it's another side of that coin. He likes to be bragged on instead of browbeat himself. Amen. He likes to have something to come home to. Well, honey, you look, I never will forget. Brother Gerald went and bought me one of those orange sweaters. I love bright colors. Miss Flo, I put it on ready to go out one morning. Miss Renee said, "Woo!" She said, I like that outfit on you. Boy, the rest of the day, I just like that. Boy, does she like this? Boy, she admired. I mean, just she admired just how I looked that morning. That goes a long way. You ought to brag on your husband sometimes. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a Jezebel down at the workplace that'll brag on him if you don't. Now, most of us grown, ain't we? So I guess I can be plain. You married him for a reason. No doubt you were attracted to him in some way. Something that he said or did attracted you to him. Or you was goofy to marry him. Well, you ought to keep that in your marriage. You ought to mind brag on him a little bit. He does something good. Say, honey, that was good. Glad he did that. Instead of throwing a broom to him and hitting him upside the head, maybe just leave it there by the counter and he may come by and pick it up and do something with it. And then when he does, brag on him, admire him. Boy, that's good. You're doing good. You're helping me. You're doing good. Admire him. Isn't it amazing what men will do for a trophy? I mean, in all them bass tournaments I fish, I had my little collection of trophies. Well, them trophies meant something to me. You know what? That mean that I achieved a goal. It's some kind of egoistic thing of a man. He loves a trophy. Boy, I got to think about this. Brother Brandon, the other day, we had this bow shoot. Boy, he's so competitive. Men are so competitive. He just loves that. And boy, when he won that archery tournament and he was presented a tape, well, that tape really didn't mean nothing. It's just he won and somebody was bragging on him. Amen. It goes like this, men. You know I'm a telling right. You love for your wives to brag on you and make you feel like somebody. Don't always be bragging on the neighbor how good he is and how good he looks and how good he keeps his yard, how nice he keeps her car clean. Find something to brag on him about. Amen, Mr. Renee. That helps. Boy, just brag on him a little bit. It'll help his feelings. I'm talking about her love was pure. Her love was passionate. He said he had no reason to go out. No need of spoil. And I'll remind you then, when you leave your house and go after another woman, you're fixing to spoil what God has intended for you. He said he has no need to go after spoil because everything he needs, he has it at home. Brag on him when he gets there. Honey, I love the way you pull in the driveway. Amen. Brag on him. He likes that. My wife sometimes says, you're a neat freak. You dress too neat sometimes. Sometimes on Saturday, just put on a pair of blue jeans and some kind of old rough shirt and just have a little edge on you. Well, Saturday, you know what I'm going to do? But David, I'm hunting something she likes. Amen. She says, preacher. She don't say preacher. She says, honey, I like that goatee you got sometimes. Amen. Oh, I'm just, oh, now, preacher, you ain't human. Oh, is that right? Oh, is that right? You ought to admire your husband. You ought to encourage him. See, you ought to be picking him up and lifting him up instead of beating him down all the time. We talk about wife beaters, they some men beaters.
My husband don't never do nothing right. He don't do this, he don't do that.
Yang, 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 yang. No wonder. No wonder you like a broke record. Oh, her love was pure, her love was passionate, but her love was permanent. Verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now I want you to look what the writer said. Don't miss this. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Why didn't he say that she will do him good all the days of his life? Because she has no control of that. She may leave out before he does. But he's saying, I tell you what, as long as I live, it's going to be permanent. And I'm going to stand with my man. Amen. And I want you to look about the love of this virtuous woman for her husband. She says she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Ladies, you can't help what happens when you lead out of this walk of life. But you can matter what you do while you're living, while you're breathing. And here the virtuous woman sees about her husband, her love is permanent. I'm convinced that marriage is two-way easy to get out of in the day we live. I'll guarantee you, I've not been married going on 25 years because I couldn't have got out of the situation. And because she couldn't have got out of the situation. But I'll assure you, divorce is not an option in my home. You hear me? Now I realize biblically there's a lot of broken homes here that you picked up and you've got a husband and wife now like you've never had. And you ought to be shouting about it. Amen. You ought to be taking care of that so you ain't got to go through that again. Amen. Well, we live and learn, don't we? But certainly, the worth of the virtuous woman. Oh, she's worth more than rubies. Her price is far above anything in this world. Solomon said, I know I hadn't had one yet. He said, I've got one that does many things, but who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find? I'm going to tell you what. I believe with all my heart, a good woman's hard to find. Good woman's hard to find. The worth of a virtuous woman. Secondly, the work of a virtuous woman. Verse 13, this may blow your mind. But did you know Solomon said, the perfect woman, she's going to work. And boy, that's going to go against some teachings of what the Baptists have taught, that the women are supposed to stay home. Now, you remember, I read it this morning, Paul said that she ought to be keepers of home. That's exactly right. You get home at night, don't you? Quiet, ain't it? Well, let's see what he said. The work of the virtuous woman. The work of the virtuous woman, verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Now I'm going to tell you what. It's hard for one family to make it when one is working. And if you can do that, I want to encourage you to let your wife stay home. But I'm going to tell you something. Before you go to the poorhouse, you ought to do something to contribute to your family. Now that's enough said about that. So in other words, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying if the Lord makes you go to work, get at it. And if He don't, stay home. When in doubt, don't. But don't you browbeat my wife because she works. And don't you browbeat his wife because she stays at home. But I want you to look at this virtuous woman, her work. First of all, the decision to work in verse 13. She seeks, verse 14. She's like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and apportioned to her maidens her desire. But then her diligence to work in verse 17, she girds her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. I tell you what, a lady has a big workload. And here, Solomon is writing saying, lady, just cause it's dark don't mean you can't light a candle and stay busy. Amen. Her diligence to work. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff, which is another meaning for spindle. Oh yes, the work of the virtuous woman. Boy, I tell you what, a lot of people say, well, a housewife needs to get a career. I tell you what, a housewife's pretty busy. Cooking, cleaning, washing, seeing about them young and seeing about you, hard head. Boy, the work of the virtuous woman. In other words, she stays busy. And ladies, I want to charge you this morning, according to the teaching of the Word of God. If you are a housewife, and I think it's wonderful that you can be, I think it's glorious that God has provided for your family in such a way that you can stay home, but you ought to stay busy at whatever you're doing. Because boy, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. You ought to stay busy doing little things. I get to go to some of the people's houses in the church, and I'm just amazed at how they can take little simple things and make the most wonderful things for the home out of it. Stuff I've never thought of. You know, ladies, you don't have to, in the diligence of the work, you just look around. You've got a lot of things you can work with and do at home. Certainly, the main thing is stay busy. The work of the virtuous woman. The work of the virtuous woman. Then thirdly, the way of the virtuous woman. Look in verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. The way of the virtuous woman. You'll see in verse 20 and 21, she's helpful. Helpful. She reaches to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. What are you talking about? She's been busy sewing. Boy, that's something the young girls wouldn't even know how to start. Amen. You know, why is she not worried about the snow? Because she's done prepared, seen it coming. She knows the cold day's coming, and she's laying up in store. Her little young ones want to go out and build a snowman and come back in and change in another set of clothes. Snow don't bother her. That's a big deal in the country of Jerusalem. They get 17 inches sometime of snow. But here he said the virtuous woman would be looking, should be a lady that would sew, that would clothe and see about her household. Well, my mother was a professional sewist, seamstress. Sewist ain't a word, is it? My mama had a pattern. She'd lay it on the towel, see right there. She had them old big scissors. She'd cut them patterns out. And then I could see her out there by that old sewing machine. She would sew way in the hours of the night. Sewing. Well, she was diligent. My mama didn't have a public job till I done got up and grown. But I tell you what she did. She did work at the house to help my daddy. It's hard raising four young women. We was poor, but we didn't know it though, Gerald. We was happy poor. And I tell you what, I'm convinced that you'd do a whole lot better off and sit out chasing a whirlwind, be at home taking care of business. Oh, this morning, the ways of the virtuous woman. Your ways. She's helpful. She's humble, verse 22. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She's humble. Humble. Ladies, are you humble? She's helpful. Are you helpful? Are you humble? Verse 23, she's honorable. Her husband is known in the gates. When he sitteth among the elders of the land, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Now, I'm going to tell you what. You can take a woman and dress her up to look real pretty, but she can be real ugly on the inside. But here this Bible says in verse 25, her honor her strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. In other words, she's clothed with what's right. Honor and strength. The way of a virtuous woman. She's honorable. She stands by her man. Look, he's in the gates doing business. He has no concern about where she is, no worry where she is, because she's an honorable and a strong woman standing by her husband. Let me show you a Jezebel in the Bible. Look, if you would, over in the book of Job, chapter number 2. What I'm fixing to read to you here this morning, Job did not have a virtuous wife. Now I want you to realize what had happened. The devil had come before the Lord and said, listen, that servant Job, the one that is the greatest of all the men of the east, I'm going to make him fall. Said, I'll tell you what I can do. Said, he's got cattle, I'll take them from him. Said, he's got goats and asses. Said, I can get all them. Said, he's going to deny you, Lord. Said, he's got that drove of younguns he's raised. Said, I'll take him. Said, I'll let the fire fall from heaven and consume everything he's got. Said, he'll deny you. That's what God said. I tell you what I'll do. I'm going to drop this hedge around my servant Job. Said, you can touch everything he's got but his life. And I wonder why he didn't take his wife while he was getting stuff. Because I guess the devil knowed if he left her there, she'd punish him. Because the Bible said in Job 2, verse 7, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. He took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God? Shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. She said, why don't you just curse God and die? That's the last thing he needed to hear when he got home. I tell you what he needed to hear, honey. I'm with you through thick and thin. Honey, I don't understand why all this stuff is happening in our house, but I can tell you one thing. We together, and I'm standing right beside you. She said, just curse God and die. I know a lot of pastors, Brother Gerald, got a Jezebel like that, but I thank God I've got a virtuous woman. Boy, I tell you what means a lot to me. Honey, you tried. Get up and brush yourself off and let's go again. Don't fold your chin up and throw your hands down. Honey, get up. Let's go. You did the best you could. God's got this under control. I'm here beside you. God said He'd bless us together. So I'm just waiting on the blessing. Encourage you. Stand by. Pick Him up. The last thing you want to do is come across like this in your ways. Be honorable. Stand by your husband and back him. Support him. You know, a man that makes no wrong decisions is making no decisions. Did you know if you make decisions, you're going to make some wrong decisions? But ladies, you ought to stand with your man. Stand with him through thick and thin. God will honor you standing the way of the virtuous woman. Fourthly, the words of the virtuous woman. Look in verse 26 of Proverbs 31. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Talk about the worth of the virtuous woman. The work of the virtuous woman. The ways of the virtuous woman. But now, hurriedly closing the words of the virtuous woman. First of all, she speaks wise words. Wise words. Here the Bible said in verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom. Ladies, sometimes you ought to think about what you're saying. He's got feelings too. You know, the ladies always talk about, well, he says things and just tears my heart out. What are you saying to him? The words of the virtuous woman, they are words of wisdom. You ought to pray and ask God to give you wisdom of how to respond to your husband, what to say back to your husband. Boy, if you're just short and snappy, you know what that's going to do? That's going to put him on the defense. And listen, he's the man. He's the boy dog. He's going to root you right out of the pen. It can only be one boy dog in the pen. You sit there and bow up in front of him. Well, no wonder you ain't getting along. Why don't you use some words of wisdom? Ask the Lord. He'll give you some wisdom of how to answer your husband, how to talk to your husband. Words of the virtuous woman. Wise words. Oh, me. Not only wise words, but look what the Bible said in verse 26. Her tongue is the law of kindness. Kind words. Boy, you know it's amazing how kindness will get things accomplished. Listen at this difference. What if I say to Brother Gerald, why don't you clean that light socket out? What if you said, honey, in your spare time, would you clean that up for me? Now, if my wife comes across to me and yells and not thunder, you know what I'm going to do? I'll show her. That thing will rust over before I change it. Kind words! It'll go a long way. You ought to try it. Kind words. Boy, there's always a way to ask somebody to do something. Well, he don't listen to me, preacher. I got to beat it through his thick head. Well, you're not a virtuous woman. Bible said you need to have kind words. Kind words. You know something? A lot of times all the men's wanting you to do is to lash back at you so he'll have a reason to fight with you. I remember one time I was working an old man. I was working for Lana Dairies on ice cream right by the jail. He's a hateful old man. I'd fail a lot of times before I even went in there and take my little goods. He always made me wait last for you to check me in. I had a big route to get to. He's the most hateful man I ever knowed. He made me stand there about 30 minutes one morning. Finally, he thought he'd come by and get my ticket, check me in. He began to ask me about things. I'd say, yes, sir. He'd say, well, now you tell me the different kind of flavors on your truck out there. And I began to tell him. And he said, now, is that all you got out there? I said, yes, sir. He said, you live over in Carrollton? I said, yes, sir. He said, you've been working with them a good while? I said, yes, sir. He said, is that all you can say? Yes, sir. I said, yes, sir. He was hunting a way to pick a fight. I didn't give him nothing to lash back at. Now, you better hear me and hear me well this morning. We're fixing to play us a song. And the lady answered with kind words. Kind words turned away strife. Boy, you get in the car with him, you go into church, and them fangs is going to run out, and you're going to get your 2 cents in. But I'm going to tell you what, the virtuous woman watches her timing, prays and talks with wisdom, and says only kind words. I want to remind you too, mamas, not getting ahead of next week, but little Sally and Susie's coming up. They're hearing what you got to say. I want to ask you something this morning. I'll close with this. The worth of the virtuous woman. Great price. The work. The ways. The words. But lastly, the worthiness. Well, look what this Bible says. Verse 28. The worthiness of the virtuous woman. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. I can't get my husband to brag on me a lick. Then once you start being a virtuous woman, the Bible said it'd work. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Praiseth her. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Young men, I understand that ladies to you, girls to you is pretty. But I'm going to tell you a lot of hidden beauty. It's not what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside. I know a lot of men that live a life of misery just because they went for a pretty woman. By the way, ladies, you're all beautiful in your own way. I'm finding beauties that my wife has today that I didn't know existed 20 years ago. It's not all makeup and hairstyle. It's what's on the inside. Miss Sherry, would you think? I want to ask the ladies here something this morning. I don't want you just to come to the altar because your husband did last Sunday. But I do want to open this altar up. Miss Sherry, just play. I don't even need a song. I want to ask you something. Maybe you need to ask God to give you wise words this morning. And kind words. Just say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, the book of Colossians, chapter number 3, verse number 12, you'll find the Bible says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Ladies, you'll never get any better in your marriage till you forgive your husband. But he's not asking me to forgive him anyway. I'd venture to say Christ has forgiven you of some things you've not asked Him to forgive you for. And ladies, I want to remind you, you look around this building, what is it, a couple hundred people here? I want you to hear me and I want you to hear me well. You look and you look real good. There ain't a perfect man sitting in the walls of this building this morning. Some of you ought to get out of men bashing and get into loving your man. Have some kind words to say to him. And I want to remind you this in Ephesians chapter number 5, men. You'll see that we are instructed to love our wives, but no place in that chapter does it say for the wife to love her husband. It's in the Bible, but not in that chapter. And you know why? He said that we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. He first loved us. That's why we responded. Maybe, men, the reason your wives ain't loving you the way you want them to love you, maybe you just not loving them the way Christ loved the church. Because they're responders. Ladies, maybe this morning you want to come in the altar and say, Lord, help me with my responsiveness. I need some help. And ladies, you may sit there in your pious glory this morning, but I'll guarantee you there ain't a one in the house that couldn't ask God to help them with something this morning. Now, I'm your pastor, and I done preached to you. You want your home better? You better listen to this too, Reeves. God has the answer. I don't have the answer, but the pages of this Bible can help you where you live. You need help? Is your marriage where you want it to be? Wonderful, I hope it is. But I'll tell you one thing, it ain't where it can be. You come this morning, whatever you need in your life. Ask God to help you to be a virtuous woman. God, fill me with kindness. Fill me with long suffering and mercy till you grow up my husband. Help me, Lord, to be a woman of kindness. Oh, he said that you can even lead your unbelieving husband to the Lord by your conversation, by the way you live. Virtuous woman, Solomon said, oh, they're of great price. May the Lord help us this morning as a church family. Have revival in our hearts to love one another.